Bob, it's with great pleasure that I bring to you our next segment because it's your favorite one. We like to call it Decisions, Decisions. And there were a lot of them that either were made in yesterday's game or before yesterday's game in years past that had an influence on the game that we can discuss. I'm just going to mention a decision, then you give your take, and you and I can go back and forth. Are you ready, Bob?
I'm ready for decisions, decisions.
All right. One of the big decisions yesterday was to start Cole Holcomb. He played 50% of the snaps. Peyton Wilson played 47%. What did you make of that decision, Bob?
I thought it was a good one because, you know, quite frankly, Peyton Wilson had been being pushed around a little bit, especially, you know, in coverage and in the run game where he's making tackles 5, 7, 8 yards down the line. And you can't have tacklers leading your way, especially secondary guys and linebackers, unless they're up in the play making good stops. So I think Holcomb had proved in, you know, in the preseason that he came back from his injury, got a chance, and right off the bat, he caused a fumble in his early in that football game on Ramondre Stevenson.
I like that part of it, and I like the move. Having said that, you could also see where Holcomb, he got absolutely smoked by, I think it was by Hunter Henry. Of course, everybody
did. Everybody got smoked.
I don't really love him in coverage. Of course, Peyton Wilson, the self-proclaimed one of the greatest cover linebackers in the world, Bob. I couldn't help on that 4th and 2. They threw a touchdown to Henry. Whose fault was that?
Yeah.
Was it Peyton? I don't know, honestly. Was it Wilson? Was
either.
It Queen? Was
hesitant.
It the safety?
I think it's just all of them.
You can't be wide open.
Not 4th and 2 like that, and he was wide open until he got hit at the goal line.
So that being said, I like the decision. I'm not convinced they have things right at inside linebacker, though. That position still worries me, and both Queen and Wilson got bad grades yesterday from PFF. I didn't see Holcomb's grade, and that leads to another decision, Bob. This happened back in 2022, and to hear Bob Spillane tell it, the Steelers told him to go out, test the market, see what you get, and we're going to offer whatever they give you. That's what he said on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and I know you're a regular listener, Bob.
Bussin' in the Boys, yes.
He said the Steelers told him, we want to make you a Steeler. We love you. So he went out on the market, got an offer from the Raiders, and he says, I came back. What's the deal? And they were like, good luck. Have fun. That's a decision. Bob Spillane made 15 tackles yesterday and an interception. I think he'd look pretty damn good still in a Steeler jersey. What'd you think of that decision?
I was disappointed that they went down that route. I thought he had shown them, as someone who, you know, had to earn everything he got, that he did. And he was making plays. And everybody remembers the hit on Derrick Henry in Tennessee. But he's a reliable guy. He's a responsible. That's the way I look at him. I call him a responsible linebacker. And I think that's what you want out of those guys. You
he
want
also,
to be responsible.
Yeah, pounds people,
he
right?
He does. And he has everything that they would want, and yet they let him go.
I think if he were on the Steelers, he would be their best inside linebacker. I honestly believe that.
I tend to agree with that now, yes. I think they've been searching forever. Shazier's injury, they've gone through a whole bunch of people there. And some have worked, some have not worked. Some have been short-term, no one long-term. And I think that's what he would have given them.
Maybe you know, Patrick Queen. It's tough, but I do like Bob Spillane, and you know, that's only his side of the story, but if that's the way it went, that's not the way to do business. All right, next decision, Bob. Are you ready?
Yep.
Take a deep breath, Bob. I want you to be completely in the present. There you go. You mentioned this play. The Patriots are 1st and goal at the 3 early in the game. They've been running the ball well. I think averaging 5 yards a carry. Of course, they fumble every other carry. But they decide to throw on 1st down, and this would repeat itself, by the way, later in the game.
Yes.
When all they did was throw from the 3 yard, but it would repeat itself later in the game when they were driving into Steelers territory, and they drop him back on 1st down again, and he gets sacked. On this particular play, he got his head slammed into the turf. So this is a 2-part question, Bob, the decisions that were made. One, the decision to throw on 1st down, but 2, there are supposed to be neurotrauma experts on the sidelines during NFL games. We've seen many quarterbacks on that play, including Kenny Pickett at least twice, slam the back of their head on the turf. He grabbed his head, and May said after the game, and I'm paraphrasing, hey, last year I learned my lesson that you got to show you're okay right away and don't give them a chance to bring you over to the sidelines to inspect you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where is the neuro guy there? And what about the decision to throw in the first place?
First of all, he should not have been given any opportunity to stay in the game. They should have immediately calmed down and called down there and said, hey, that's what we're here to do. I mean, that guy's up there for that sole reason. And yet, nothing happened. So, now, as far as the first thing, the thing that was struggling, tough for me to figure out, Mike Vrabel had three timeouts. First and goal from the three. I think there were, I don't know how many seconds left, but certainly with three timeouts, you could run whatever you want. You open up your playbook. Again, they fumbled, sure. But they also rushed for over 119 yards on the day, again, as a team. So they were having success running. It was just hanging on the football. I wouldn't have abandoned that, Joe. I would have at least tried to figure out ways, knowing I have three timeouts, I don't have to throw the ball on every single down. They operated as if they had no timeouts.
Yeah.
And as a result, they take three to the locker room, and I didn't like the play calling there.
Me neither.
From them.
And by the way.
And Cam made a great play. You know,
he
got his hand up there, and otherwise that may have been a touchdown.
By the way, as much as we don't know about concussions, one thing we do know is symptoms sometimes don't manifest. So I sure hope that Drake May woke up today in good shape and that's we don't get a story
and
today.
And that's a damning comment. You paraphrased it, but if that's the comment, hey, I learned, I better just go right back into it. So in other words, you're willing to play even though you may be concussed.
I mean, all these guys are. Yeah, that's why they have a neurotrauma guy down there. So if somebody gets slammed to that degree on the back of their head and immediately grabs their head...
Yeah.
Maybe the page. I don't know. I don't know what the chain of command. I think if the neuro guy says we got to bring him over, then you bring him over. But there's always that line with medical decisions versus competitive decisions.
And the competitive decision, they're out and they're knocking on the door. They need a touchdown there. But still,
now he's supposed to be an independent.
Right.
Neuro specialist.
All I needed to see was him grab his helmet.
Me too.
And you knew that something was not right there.
Bob, here's another decision. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Deep breath. And I texted you and Hokie on this.
Yes,
and I'm not saying this was good or bad. In fact, to my wonderment, this is what I think of.
Yeah. No.
The Steelers punted from, I think, the Patriots 43 at one point in the game. And I texted you and Hokie, and I said, why not a 60-yard field goal? I think it was a tie game right there.
It was a tie game.
Why not go for the 60-yard field goal? And then Hokie said, you got to punt it there. They haven't done, I don't know what he said. His rationale made sense. I'm just marveling at the fact that I think a lot of people even think of that, because I bet you Boswell had a better than 50% chance to put the Steelers ahead with a 60-yard field goal, Bob. I think I would have tried it.
Yeah, I think he wanted to try it. It looked like he was heading his way onto the field and he was told to come back. The only reason I say on this one that I would punt is because of what part of the game it was in. You know, when they attempted the 60-yarder to win the game and he was good from 70, that was the last play of the game, basically. So that's what they had to do to try to win that game.
Yes.
And there's no consequence for it. If you kick it there and you give them the ball, you're going to give it, right at midfield. And the way they've been moving the ball, that's probably going to result in either a turnover again or points. And it actually worked out because they kicked it. Waitman made a good job kicking it. They got a stop, and they end up scoring what turned out to be the game-winning touchdown, I think.
Yeah.
So
I hear that. I just
– No, you're tempted
I
with
think
that guy.
He has
absolutely.
I think he has a 70-yarder in
he
him.
He does.
Bob. I think Chris Boswell, before he's done here, will win a game on a 70-yard field goal. How do you like that call?
And I think he and Brandon Aubrey are the two guys most logically selected to do it.
Limits? You agree with that?
I don't, no. What's the record right now? 66?
Yeah.
I can see Boswell breaking the record at like 67, 68.
I'll take that, yeah.
We've seen Tomlin's unwillingness to let Boswell even attempt field goals like that. Think about the Colts game last year, 2 years ago, when
that
they were at the 38
insanity.
And they didn't let him try it.
Meanwhile,
that was a different situation than yesterday.
It was different. Well, in the Colts game, they were losing and they needed points and they punted instead of letting him try it in the dome.
The logic yesterday made sense to me.
It did. Sort of.
If
I want to go ahead and I think Boswell's good from 60.
I do. I think he can do it, but I think he just was trying to be prudent about it and it turned out to be the right call yesterday. Some days it'd be the wrong call. You know, when he feels like his defense can't stop anyone and they were not stopping a lot of people, you can say to yourself, I want the 3 points because no matter what happens, I got to get as many points as I can because this team's going to score again.
How about
if they didn't turn the ball over as much as they did?
Well, yeah, they would have, probably. I felt like even if you pinned him at the three, they were going to go 97 anyway, yeah. or fumble at the 1 yard line and go 96. How about the other guy, Mike Vrabel, going for it in a 14-7 game, like midway through the game or thereabouts, from his own 14, Bob? And that was another play, by the way, where Holcomb, I thought, he slipped and
yeah, they had that figured out. It should have been stopped.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. But just, you know, I wondered about that at the time. I've seen, who was it? Belichick did it.
Yeah.
Where did he do it? In a Colts game, I think, or something?
Yeah, that was at the end of the game. Yeah. Well, teams do it all the time in their own territory now.
But not at your own 14.
Right around your 20 or 30 in the playoffs. The Chiefs did it
to
the Bills.
You had to be surprised when you saw them go for it, right?
No.
You didn't? You weren't surprised?
No. I honestly, honest to God, I wasn't.
Hmm.
I feel like teams do this a lot now, whereas other teams punt from midfield in a tie game,
well,
like Tomlin did last week.
Yeah, metrically, they'll tell you that it's better than 50% chance of converting. In fact, it's probably bigger odds than that. It's probably 70% chance of converting, fourth and short. So he rolled the dice and got away with it. That's fine. If they don't get it and the Steelers do score, because they'd be in the red zone.
Yeah.
And they've been good in the red zone. Now all of a sudden you're down 14.
I liked it. And then there was Cleet Blakeman and his flag-happy officiating crew. Bob, you know it's a bad sign when the guy calling the game, which in this case was Ian Eagle, says in the second quarter, and I quote, "Cleet Blakeman has been very active in the first half. I'm not there and I'm not watching on television to see Cleet blanking Blakeman." Okay, Bob? And these guys went a long way toward wrecking the game. They were awful yesterday. They were over-officious jerks, like Marv Levy said, for a lot of the game. And then they missed obvious calls. They missed T.J. Watt getting held on a key play in the second half where Drake May ran around end. Do you remember that one?
Yep. And he was looking back the whole time at Cleet.
Meanwhile, exactly. Cleet. Meanwhile, let's get to some of the particulars. The good old low block call on a defender.
He wasn't blocking. He was trying to make a play.
It was ridiculous.
That should not have been called.
It was the same as the Jalen Ramsey play. J.J. Watt called it nicely yesterday, and he called both games. The idiotic call against Jalen Ramsey against the Jets. What are they looking at? Guys are trying to make plays. The low block is when you dive into somebody's knees to try to go right through them to get to the tackler.
And you have to see that. It has to be obvious. That was not obvious, and that was a bad call. I told you last week that I would prefer fewer flags, even if that meant letting some of these calls go. Because now, yesterday, the pass interference call where DK Metcalf was riding down the sidelines, the defender has to be there. There's going to be some physical contact. That was not pass interference.
It was a horrible call and an uncatchable pass.
But if that's the standard of PI, then you must call every one of them. And you don't want to get into that game.
No.
It has to be something that you can tell. A guy's grabbing your arm, pulling your jersey, whatever. That was none of that on that play.
And the other horrible call was against Echols in the first half when it was booty. And you can see from the reverse replay that, if anything, it should have been offensive pass interference. Booty was holding Echols' arm and then pushed him at the end.
That's true. That was the wrong call.
It was a terrible call.
Did you hear Ian Eagle on that? He said, he grabbed booty.
Yeah, I did. That was a good line.
J.J. Watt could not contain himself.
I
know,
neither could I.
We had booty happening, Bob. We had ball searching happening. Do you have Tomlin's quote from that? Limits. Not that one. You pressed the wrong button.
I pressed the right button, just maybe at the wrong time.
That's well said, actually. All right, Bob. How about this decision from yesterday? Late in the game, they're 3rd and 6. You have a chance for an easy Boswell field goal to go up. Now, there were a lot of field goals blocked around the league yesterday, but presumably this was going to be an easy field goal. Instead, the Steelers went for broke. Aaron Rodgers went with a back shoulder touchdown pass. Did you like that aggressiveness?
I did. I did like it because I think in those situations, he's been good. He's put the ball where he had to and trust his receivers, and I think he did on that play. And I have to say that Austin did a good job, too, you know, adjusting to it, turning his body completely around. That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
When you're running one way, you got to stop and kind of twist it back, and he did. He made a really good play on that one. So
great throw.
Yeah, I like
great
that
catch.
Aggressive play there.
Yeah. Here's another decision, back to a call. Here's one that I don't get, and I know all of us, if you're listening out there, and hopefully you're watching on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, get there through our website. You can watch Bob, who's decked out in a pink golf shirt with a pink Laden hat, a Srixon hat. Yeah. It's unbelievable, Bob.
Yeah, I love pink.
You're color coordinated every day of your life.
I try to be. You are too. You're turning the golfer in you now has turned you into
better,
more aware better, of shirt, hat matching, all that stuff. Yes, right. I've seen it.
I know we all have things that we watch and we think, am I crazy or does everybody else see what I'm seeing? And this one is repeated every week. I don't even know. I've reached the point where I don't know if it's still a rule in the NFL. There was a Tom Brady rule where you're not allowed to dive at the quarterback or really tackle him in the pocket below the knees. Is that still a rule?
Yes, it's still a rule.
Because I saw yesterday.
It happened.
Who was it? Landry. Harold Landry dove at Rodgers' ankles from behind. And I'm thinking to myself, nobody even talks about it, looks at it, considers it. He wasn't pushed there. He dove at the back of the bottom of his legs, Bob. Am I crazy?
No, I thought the same thing. That's when a flag should have been called because they're so cautious about quarterbacks getting injured, and that's the kind of play they want to get rid of the game, get out of the game. So I thought that was a missed call. As much as I don't want to see flags on just about every play, but that was one that deserved it.
Me too. And here's my last decision of the day for you. Are you enjoying the segment, Bob?
I love it. I can't wait till we go around
segment.
The NFL.
Yeah. This is the segment where I comb through the film in the morning and I have a little, again, with the old school pen and paper, it says decisions at the top. Do you
so
see
you don't
this,
do it
Bob?
As the game goes on?
No. I want to comb through it. Do you see where it says decisions there? And I'm thinking of you as I'm doing this.
I'm flattered.
He has a quill that he writes with.
And a quail. Yeah, Ron gave me his first writing pen from Northwestern.
Still works.
it's a quill, yes. Roman Wilson, 9 snaps in the game. Calvin Austin was invisible until he wasn't when he made a big catch and then a touchdown catch on the final drive. Where are we with how they're sort of breaking down the division of labor with the other receivers, with Wilson and with Austin? Do they still need a number two receiver? And what about Roman Wilson? Where is this guy?
I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I thought, again, at the end of the preseason, he was making a statement that he's going to be part of this, and he's been shut out, basically, not even used in certain situations like yesterday. And they only had 2 receivers who made catches. They had a couple of tight ends who were actually 3 tight ends who were targeted one way or another.
Yeah.
And I know they like their tight ends, but unless you get production like what you saw from, you know, Hunter Henry, you're going to need more people making plays. And I still think you can never hurt yourself by going out and get another receiver. I just don't know who that would be, and I don't know if the trade deadline, if that's the way to do it, if there's something they can conjure up then. But I still would like more, not less.
I tend to agree with you there. And then
what has he done not to get any, you know, even targets?
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, his biggest play of the year was breaking up an interception. We're 3 games into the season, Bob. And the other big story on offense, I would say, and it ties into everything we've been talking about today, is that DK Metcalf has 10 catches for 135 yards. He does have 2 touchdowns. What do you make of his season so far and how they're really not featuring him?
Well, it may go back to what you said earlier about quick releasing. You know, he's the kind of guy who can win deep balls. You know, he has mismatched physically for a lot of defensive backs or safeties. But they haven't even really gone down the field all that much. So for him, it's got to be he had the one play, was it in the Jets game, where he got it and turned it up to like a 25-yard gain where he had the yak yards. They got to even more of that. Just, you know, use the middle of the field more. Get guys involved so they can make yards after catch.
I guess I didn't have a big problem with it yesterday because I realized that the Patriots get after the quarterback really good. It was obvious that Arthur Smith and or Rodgers were determined not to have that manifest yesterday, and we're going with a short passing game. And yet Metcalf made some very key plays. A touchdown catch, drew a long interference call down the right sideline. I don't really, and teams are trying to take him out of the game on top of that. I don't really have a problem with them using him judiciously, but I feel like as the season goes along, if you have a $150 million receiver, the numbers are going to have to be a little bit bigger.
Yeah, and I think he's always going to be judged based on contract. Most guys are. We talk a lot about defensive players not making plays when they're paid a lot of money. Same is true of wide receivers. Two touchdowns is pretty good. That's a pace that I could take. If you get in the red zone and score like that, that's fine. But I still would like to see him utilize. He is a mismatch problem for a lot of defenses. They got to figure out ways, and this comes back to the offensive line, to give quarterbacks time to make those plays.
Yeah.
It can happen within 2.4 seconds. You got to give them a little bit more time.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can talk to our dear friend City Limits on the Fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up in just a few minutes here, Ray Fittipaldo's report card. Professor Ray, one of our favorite teachers every week. Well, except this week when my column outdid him. Ray's story.
Ooh,
Ray's report card.
He throws that one out there.
Shots fired. Ray's report card at postgazette.com is the most read piece the day after
people,
a game.
People like grades. You know what they also
they
like?
They love that.
They like stars and stiffs and stuff like that. They want, you know, just give me a quick name.
We
who
all
did
have,
well?
Yes. Yeah. That's why we did decisions,
right.
Bob.
See, Bob, now this is Joe patting himself on the back.
Yes,
but
it
I think
is.
He definitely should. That's a high honor. To be able to beat Ray's report card.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
It doesn't.
So we're going to follow along with Professor Fittipaldo coming up next. And then top of the hour, what a crazy day in the NFL. I've never seen on any Sunday that many block kicks that,
block
that
party
dramatically
everywhere.
Changed
crazy.
Game. It was. It was nuts.
Multiple ones in the same game.
Let's talk about that at the top of the hour. But first, we're going to hand out some grades. All right, Bob, I think you would have made a great teacher, by the way. I was supposed to be a teacher. It's the reason I came to Pittsburgh, by the way, in November of 89, was to make my teaching certificate permanent by getting a master's at Duquesne way back when.
Well, you know, the people that I've talked to who've been in your classes when you have had classes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I was a teacher.
You were, people have told me that it made a lasting impression, and that's the best thing you can do. Because to me, when I look back at my teachers, whether in high school or college, the ones who stand out and I still remember are the ones who had a real impact on something they did for me or what I understood what they were trying to, you know, push you in. I always say it's good to have people pushing you.
Yes.
You should never want to not have people pushing you. And it may not always be, you know, something you agree with, but they care enough to push you. And that's a big thing.
Barbara Bono, University of Buffalo.
Sonny's wife?
English.
No. One of them.
Late 1980s, she ripped me for my writing, but she also said after ripping me, she said, "You have talent. Don't let it go to waste." So what I took from that, like you would from a coach, is A, if they ain't saying nothing, that's a bad sign. B, if they're on you and critiquing you and telling you there's more in there, and they want to extract it out, that's a really special thing. And
absolutely.
She really influenced me.
You should thank those people for doing that for you.
And in fact, I connected with Barbara Bono much later in life, about 3 years ago. Maybe it was during COVID, actually. I did a story on the Steelers' first draft pick, William Shakespeare, right?
Yeah.
So I sort of wrote the whole piece in a Shakespearean type thing. I broke it into five acts, that type of thing. And it turned out to be a really fun story to research that this guy, William Shakespeare, didn't play football for the Steelers because a lot of first-round picks back then went and chose other professions because football didn't pay. And this guy went and fought in World War II, I believe it was. No, World War I or II, now I can't remember. And was a war hero.
Yeah.
Became a war hero. So he was on to much more important things. And she taught Shakespeare. So I sent her this story, hoping I still, you know, I could connect with her through email. And she got back to me and loved it. And then since then, we've had kind of a nice, you know, back and forth, with a teacher from all those years ago.
Yeah, but that's what my point is. When you made an impact on many of those kids who had you in class. So
thank you.
Good for you. And you would have been a great teacher if you didn't do this, but you're very good at this right now. And you're wearing your baseball card castle outfit. You look good.
I am. Thank
but
you.
Very nice.
And I think you would have been a good teacher. I only wish,
you know,
I had taught limits.
Did you ever hear that story, Bob, of how I missed out on a Joe Starkey class? I was promised when I transferred to Waynesburg.
I think that would have
you
been
will have a class.
Relationship because you would have punched back at him like you're doing here
you
once
think
in
so?
A while. And then he would have looked at you like, So, Mr. Limits.
Mr. Limits, the savvy young Newtown you claim to be. I was told that you will have a class with Joe Starkey. My freshman year, Joe, you were teaching a class. I think it was Monday nights.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, we just couldn't get you into it. Next semester, we'll make sure you get in it. And then Joe wasn't teaching anymore.
Then I wasn't teaching anymore, Bob.
And I didn't have a chance.
You're lost.
I had Harry
and I was
Kels.
Very sad.
And I'm not saying that against whoever did teach it, but you would have had, I would have liked to have seen that student teacher relationship in that class.
And now I have class in session.
You're learning every single day.
Harry
Kels. Joe, I have to give you a lot of credit because you started this whole thing as a columnist and you're still very good at it. Much read every day. If you look at the numbers, I'm sure you are happy to see that. But this business is different in the sense that you have to carry conversations for long periods of time. And 4 hours is a long time. And I think you've really done a great job with it. I mean, elevated your game to this now where you can be both. And that's not easy to do either.
I appreciate that, Bob. Coming from you especially. Yeah. Because you've mastered basically the two mediums of television and radio.
I wouldn't say mastered. I have fun with them and I like doing them. But I mean, you're really good with your word selection, how you phrase arguments.
I appreciate that.
And it's very good. So I thought that before I ever started working with you, and I know it now more than ever. So,
well, it's been an incredible ride so far, Bob. And a lot of people are listening, as the numbers show.
Well, I hope they do. I hope they make it fun, because a lot of people
are
driving around.
I think that's because of limits.
Yeah, probably.
Joe, I think your biggest strength is the way that you ask questions. You know, the way that you format it, I think, is just really impressive, and I've tried to take note of as well.
Yeah, you do that very well.
And I hope I've been able to help the show as well.
My inclination when people are complimenting me is to make jokes, but I think I'll take that in.
And I don't often go into this situation, but I think, since we're talking about it and you're teaching, I think, you've done this very well. So good for you. I always say that I'm happy and honored to be here, but I'm more or less, in golf terms, your caddy. I'll do whatever it takes.
Bob,
No, I'm serious. You run the show.
You are the person. That's why they call it Pomp and Joe.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit. It should be the Joe show. It always has been and always will be.
Well, no.
Yes. But let's go. What are we doing now?
We're putting on our teacher's caps. Ray gives Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's right. We're grades. Okay.
A B- for the game. He was 4-for-4 on that winning drive after going 4-for-9 after the first quarter, which was good. There was good, there was bad. There was an interception to Bob Spillane. There were two great touchdown throws. Ray says B-. What say you?
I say B, no minus, B, because it comes down to the big plays at the big times. And again, you mentioned it, 4-for-4 in the final drive. That's the one that was the game on the line. He had to make the throws, and he did. And in the first couple of drives, when he had to make throws, he did. Now, in the middle, there was a lot not to like. But overall, I think I'm going to give weighty downs, as they call it, grades. I want to give him a B because I think those were the most important parts of the game.
I feel like, four quarters, four semesters, and he aced the final exam. He did. He got a couple of Fs in there, maybe an F and a D, but he got an A on the first test of the year and an A on the final. I'm going no lower than a B. Limits?
I'm actually okay with a B-, and I kind of take that away from what Rodgers said to Evan Washburn after the game. The offense did not play well in big chunks. But again, Rodgers, one of his key points is he makes plays in the biggest moments, and who wouldn't want a quarterback that can do that?
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And you can listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Top of the hour, we're going to take a trip around the NFL after a wild day. Sunny today and a high of Plexico Burris, 80, low of Allen Fanica, 66. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Lager, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. All right, we go into a two-minute drive now, gentlemen. Our comments have to be very quick. We have to be out before the top of the hour.
Quick release as the quarterback.
Running backs. Ray gives him a C+. Bob, what say you?
I'll say the same, C+. I think average, it was better to start. I always want to give Jalen Warren a better grade just because he has so much energy and he seems to, provide that sort of thing that kind of ignites the offense, but there's not enough of him, and the offensive line is part of that, so I'm not going to penalize him for his play overall, so I think that's a good grade.
I agree with Ray. C+. It was a bad running day, but I don't put that on the running backs. Limits?
Just 64 yards rushing. I'll go C+ all around.
Receivers get a D+. Freiermuth, one catch for 6 yards. He includes anybody who's catching passes here, of course. Smith, 3 catches for 23, and he fumbled. Luckily, they got it back. We saw Metcalf and Austin. D plus, Bob. What say you?
I say C minus because, again, they did have two big touchdown receptions. I'm going to give that extra credit. And so I'll go C minus. The rest of the game, not good.
I give them a C. I mean, I think that DK Metcalf, they're not utilizing him in the offense well enough. Calvin Austin made some plays. So I'll go C.
O-line, C minus. Oh, man. I don't think they played very well.
No,
I'll be honest with you. They couldn't run the ball, and the game plan is almost designed to protect them. I'm going to give them a D.
D. I agree.
D.
Defensive line gets a B. Bob, what do you think of that?
They made turnovers, and specifically Cam Hayward, who would get an A-plus for me just because of, again, in those moments that they needed to make a play, they did. So, yeah, I'll go B.
I'll go B-minus. They still gave up 119 yards on the ground, which isn't good. It's just not good.
Certainly, three straight games over 100 yards. You got to change that. Absolutely.
Limits? I give a B-plus. They played the best that they've played all season. And the bar was not very high. A lot of those running plays was Drake May scrambling. So B-plus.
Linebackers, he gives them an A-plus, and they certainly had big plays. And by the way, on the defensive line, Cam Hayward basically saved maybe two touchdowns. So maybe I should up that a little bit. T.J. Watt snapped his six-game sackless streak. Herbig had some big moments. Strip sack. Patrick Queen had 10 tackles, and Cole Holcomb also played well, says Ray, in his opinion. A-plus, not for me. Again, the final exam was big, and they made big plays, but they were also getting smoked in coverage a lot. Missed some tackles. I'm going to go B-plus, not an A-plus.
I'm going to go A-minus. Again, to me, there's still a lot of work to be done there. In the middle of the game, I could give, you know, if you broke it into different segments, there are parts of the game I'd give that a D. But overall, I thought, you know, I'm gonna look at the most weighted plays of the game and take that into consideration.
Limits, for what it's worth, Pro Football Focus did not have good grades for the inside guys, at least not Wilson and Queen. Obviously, great grades for the outside guys.
Yeah, I thought the outside guys played very well. T.J. Watt, welcome to the NFL season officially. Two sacks, two tackles for loss. I give them an A-minus.
Secondary, Ray says B minus. I thought Peppers was good. I thought otherwise it looked disorganized. The guys were running wide open. A B minus. Come on, Ray. What are we doing here? May completed 76% of his passes. I give them a D plus for this game.
But that's partly on linebackers too. So
partly
that's why
it is. You're right.
My grade was lesser for them. But yeah,
maybe a C minus.
A D for. Yeah, I don't know. They made plays, though. I'm going to say C. When you make plays, it covers up for some of the stuff they didn't do at the beginning.
Twinning streak?
I'll go C minus. I'm a little concerned about Darius Slay, guys. I know he got banged up in this game a little bit, but he has not been as reliable as a corner as you would have hoped this season.
Let me ask you, did you guys notice Jalen Ramsey at all? Didn't hear his
name.
No,
and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't either. I want to look more at the tape.
Yeah,
the All-22 will tell us more, I think.
They really didn't throw his way much.
Well, I did notice him on the final play for the Patriots, and that's because Tomlin blitzed Thornhill from the left and Ramsey on the right, and I thought he forced a throw when it, one more second, and I thought that Drake May could have made a bigger play down the left sideline. So I did notice that. Special teams, B+. They didn't do anything that bad, which is half the battle on special teams. I agree with that, a B+, Bob.
Yeah, B+, sounds right.
B+.
Coaching.
Coverage was better, so that's why it's a B+.
For sure.
Compared to last week.
I can't find what Ray said about the coaching. What do you give it for the coaching, Bob?
I'm going to give the coaching a C. You know, because I think players made those plays, but the coaching, that's about scheme and keeping, you know, offenses off the field as much as possible. And they had too many third down conversions and fourth down conversions, so maybe a C-.
I thought defensively, I thought they were out-schemed, but their guys came up with big plays. I thought offensively, there were moments where I thought Artie called some great plays.
There were.
Down by the goal line. Screen passes on the winning drive, one to Warren, one to Gainwell, were really, really well designed. But for the most part, I didn't think it was a great coaching day. I'll be honest. I think a C is good. Ray gave him a C-. Limits?
That's my grade, C-.
Yeah, I'm at a C-. I think that one thing that was interesting is what Hokie said earlier last week, that they're not playing with technique.
Yeah.
I do really wonder about the scheme on the defensive side. And offensively, like Arthur Smith, I know they're basically running an offense because the offensive line isn't very good. I do want to see more plays down the field. I mean, hello, yeah. DK Metcalf, $30 million. Utilize him.
Well, I think that Ray makes a good point here. I think that Artie Smith draws up some really good things, but what's missing is a rhythm, a constant rhythm to their offense. Yeah. That I haven't really seen. Week one was great. But since then, it seems very disjointed, although he does come up with some very good calls.
I still would like to, once in a while, go into a no huddle just to see what happens.
It they were quick at the beginning.
Down.
I like that.
I did
they had
too,
the little sugar
then
huddle.
Then it got back to normal.
You like the sugar huddle?
Sugar.
Yeah.
Yes, I like sugar.
All right.